Morning, good afternoon, good evening to everyone. On today's IRTP call on Tuesday, the 9th of November, we have Michaëlle Nylon, Barry Cobb, Mike O'Connor, Baudouin Chombé, James Bladel, Paul Diaz, Matt Serlin, Simonetta Bottega, Chris Chaplow, Kevin Erdman. From staff, we have Marika Konings and myself, Gisela Gruber-White. And we have apologies today from Oliver Hope, Michael Collins, and Anil George. If I could also please remind you to state your names when speaking for transcript purposes. Thank you. Over to you, Michaëlle.
All right. Good afternoon and good morning and good anything else for anybody who's in another time zone. And welcome to the wonderful world of IRTP. Paul Diaz has decided to kick off the meeting today by posting into the chat something which I shall read. Or do you want to read it yourself, Paul?
Sure, I'll paraphrase, Michaëlle. It's there for everybody if you can't see it in chat. Basically, all I'm offering is I believe this working group has done a phenomenal job in discussing issues that are before us, in going over the public comments that were received, etc. But I really don't think we've spent enough time trying to develop our own solutions to a lot of the problems. As such, I'm really concerned that the proposed text, the draft recommendations in the final report that's been put before us, is really premature, and that we as a working group are kind of failing the process, and that it seems to me we're punting to staff on almost all of the issues. So as such, I'm just asking that, you know, this draft be considered, okay, a starting point, but I would submit this group is not ready to seriously entertain a final report, that we have plenty of work still in front of us, things I think we can work through, by the way, and would really like to just dive right into that, starting with the draft recommendations and work through them one by one.
Okay, thank you. Anybody else have anything to add to this? Mikey?
Hi, all. This is Mikey. I guess the question I've got is, What the trajectory of this draft is thought to be. I was thinking that Marika had put this together sort of as a talking draft, and so I didn't react quite as strongly as Paul. So, Michaëlle, Marika, you want to kind of fill us in on sort of what your intent was with the draft?
Mikey, I will let Marika speak to that once I've let James had his say.
No, pretty much, I'm sorry, this is James speaking. Pretty much the same question was, what is our intention? Are we trying to get something out before Cartagena? Because this feels rushed. So echoing Mikey's question.
Well, okay, before Marika jumps in, I'll just say, I mean, basically, part of this is to try and get some focus. Because we seem to be spending a lot of time talking about stuff at length, but we hadn't been actually moving forward in a concrete fashion, if that makes some kind of sense to you. So in some respects, this was to kind of what's the polite metaphor I'm looking for? I can only think of rude ones.
Call to action, light a fire.
Thank you. Yeah, there you go. That'll do. Thank you. Sorry, my filthy, dirty mind was getting the better of me, and I was having difficulty turning that into something that was politically acceptable or recordable. Marika, go ahead, please.
Yeah, this is Marika. So, need first to respond to James. I don't think, indeed, that the intention to get anything out by Cartagena as a deadline is the 15th of November. You know, the intent is really to try to move the group forward and start thinking about the final report. So maybe I can first take you through the draft final report that's on the screen and take you through the changes that have been made there, and then we maybe can talk about the draft recommendations, which I put into a separate document. So basically, if you look on the document on the screen, a lot of the changes there are just edits marking it from a change from an initial report to a final report. So basically, if you look at the executive summary, of course, needs to be updated once the group finalizes its report. So that's for a subsequent draft. Change in Chapter 2, basically the objective and the next steps that follow from a final report. The proposal would be for Chapter 3 on page 11, which is the background, to possibly move that to an annex, because I think we've received numerous comments over the last month that a lot of background information is put up the front of reports and the main elements are more hidden. So this might be a way to actually move the working group discussions and deliberations and recommendations more to the front and move the background to one of the annexes of the report. So moving on to the next chapter, where I don't think anything has changed, is the approach taken by the working group. The only thing changed there is I have added the members that joined the working group after the initial report. It needs to be updated to reflect the meetings attended, which we normally do after the last meeting of the group. If you want to look at Chapter 5, deliberations of the working group on page 27, what I've tried to do there is in a number of the areas include some of the points that we've discussed based on the discussions around the public comments. For example, on the top of page 30, what I've done there is actually just include a placeholder to include information on the aftermarket survey. I saw that the summary was sent, so I can synthesize that and try to include that here, just to reflect that for the record. In issue B, I've inserted some language reflecting a discussion we had based on the comments that were submitted in relation to that issue. The same for the other issue. So there I would just invite everyone to review that and see whether it reflects the discussion we had and the views of the working group. Some of those elements are taken directly from the public comment review tool that we used. So then looking at Chapter 6, which is the stakeholder group constituency statements and public comment period, basically what's changed there, that I've added the summary and analysis of the comments received on the initial report. That's basically identical to the one that is posted on the ICANN website. And I've included there as well a section on how the working group has reviewed those comments and where people can actually find the review tool once we finalize that, and it's posted probably on our wiki. So that is as well referenced there and can serve as a backdrop to the changes that have been made to this document. So those are the main changes to the report itself to get it into a shape that fits the model that we use for our final report. So I don't know if anyone has any issues they want to raise now or comments, or I don't know if people already had a chance to review it. But again, this is a draft, and any comments, edits are welcome.
Samantha?
I guess I have a question. So from your point of view, Marika, do you feel that you included the content of what we've discussed in this draft, or do you feel that what you've done so far is basically you did format changes and we still need to incorporate what we've discussed? Because when I was reading through this, I didn't find all the discussions actually being included in this report yet. And maybe that wasn't your intention, so I'm trying to find out which one it is.
And this is Marika. What I've tried to do is to include those comments that came from the review of the public comments, where we've specifically said, this is something we need to reflect in the final report, and as well some of the additional discussions we had with ICANN staff participating on the questions in relation to denial reason 6 and 7. I've captured those. But there, again, if I've missed something, and I'm sure there, as you said, there's some items that you don't see appearing there, I would invite everyone to, suggest language and circulate that to the list so it can be added.
Okay.
Mikey?
This is Mikey again. I don't think this is terrible. I like the idea of having a draft because I find it easier to sort of have a stake in the ground, and then if there's language that drives people crazy, that's fine, we can fix it. But I agree that it's good to have something to edit rather than kind of continue the discussions that we've had without writing down at least a going-in position. So I think that given the fact that we're not really trying to get this to the council by Cartagena and so on, that, having a draft is a good thing because it gives us a framework to hang changes and ornamentation on. So I think what I'd like to do is sort of kick it back to Paul and get a sense, Paul, given what you've just heard, that we're not really trying to drive this to Cartagena. Are you want to restate your concern in this context?
This is Paul. No, Mikey. It really was not clear to me that this was not a drive to try and wrap something up before Cartagena. And I'm glad, very, very glad to hear that it's not. I don't see a problem in setting a deadline for ourselves to be done with this by San Francisco, you know, which will come up fast given the holiday seasons. But you know, I say, great, it's there, it's in front of us. Let's start filling in the blanks where in every case that we can.
Cool.
So this is Marika. If I can then maybe continue to the other document, let me just pull this up. Basically, what I did, I pulled out the draft recommendations as they were in the initial report, and you know, trying to think of what the group has discussed so far, and also in an attempt to try to move the discussion forward, as we haven't really had, you know, as Paul said, we haven't really done a lot of work on, you know, revising these recommendations or coming up with, you know, concrete solutions. You know, I put in some thinking of maybe, you know, an attempt to move things forward, and indeed that might not be the approach that the working group is willing to take, and you know, the working group might want to put more time in actually developing the concrete solutions, but this is just an alternative, you know, an idea, a suggestion. Again, I pulled it out of the document to really make clear that, you know, this is just a draft, and for the working group to tear apart, to add a change, improve in whatever way it thinks it is appropriate. So so I really would appreciate the feedback that has been received so far. And just noting on the next deadline, I think the group should take into account as well that it doesn't necessarily need to have as a deadline the next ICANN meeting, because basically the next step for this report, unless the working group decides that it wants to have another round of public comments, but if the working group is going for a final report, the next step would be for it to be submitted to the council. And the only deadline there is basically that it needs to be submitted 8 days in advance of a GNSO council meeting for it to be discussed or appear on the agenda. So that, you know, that is a deadline the group would take into account, although, you know, if you would set yourself a target of the San Francisco meeting, of course, there's no problem with that either.
Just to some bits on the chat there, which just wanted to catch for the transcript. From Barry, he's just saying that he would like to do a poll to see where the group stands on the seven recommendations across the five issues. Mikey likes the idea of polls, and I don't have any problem with polls. And one thing that James is saying is that we have to be basically, we have to be careful about how we draft any questions. I'll take Mikey and then Marika.
This is Mikey. I was actually reacting to Marika's summary of the document. So, Marika, if you're reacting to the poll idea, do you want to go first?
Yes, that's fine. This is Marika. Just to comment, indeed, it's no problem to set up a poll, but indeed, if there's strong feelings that there might be other recommendations to be considered, maybe we should allow a little time for people to review these recommendations, think if there are other recommendations they would like to propose as part of a poll, and then have a poll which I think should be fairly flexible, where there is an option for people to suggest additional language or changes to the language. So, you know, it becomes a process of not just voting yes or no, but actually a way of capturing the views of the working group that we then can use to actually, you know, model the recommendations according to the consensus of the group.
Mikey?
This is Mikey. I like this document, so I think I'm feeling the same way about the second document, Marika, that I did about the first. I think it's great to have a draft, and it's great to have a stake in the ground that we can start working. I agree with Paul that I'm pretty confident that we could beat these drafts up and get them in really good shape by San Francisco. I think Cartagena would be really scary, but it doesn't sound like that's an issue. And so mostly just wanted to say thanks, Marika, and, you know, great job.
Just with respect to timelines, would people feel comfortable? Oh, Rob, go ahead.
I'm going to largely agree with Mikey there. I think the documents are really good and really well presented. I had a few questions and felt there was a word or two missing, which I'm busy typing up to get to the mailing list. But overall, I think it's an absolutely brilliant job.
Thank you. With respect to timelines, is there anybody who has an issue with us looking at San Francisco as being a reasonable deadline for a final report? Everybody seems... I've got two people agreeing with that idea. Does anybody violently disagree? Okay, I have two questions. Chris and then Mikey.
Chris here, yes. San Francisco sounds... well, that's the reasonable one for us. I'm just noting on page 53, the council were saying to us, final report T plus 220 days. If the working group decides that changes need to the milestones 8, we should submit a revised timeline to the GNSO Council. So I think we should go for San Francisco and then commit to that by getting back to the Council formally and telling them that's what we're doing. Thank you.
Okay. All right, thank you. Marika, what's the exact method for doing that, since I'm totally unfamiliar with such things?
Yeah, this is Marika. I think that probably would be appropriate to raise with the council liaison, which I think is Tim Marie's for this group, so I guess that might be an action point for James to discuss with Tim. To be honest, I think we probably already missed that deadline by quite a bit, and I think more groups are in a similar boat, and I actually haven't seen any official communications to the council asking for changes to the charter. But I think it would be good to give an indication, and if the group commits to that, another thing I would do is we provide, before every council call, an update on the different working groups and where they're at. And I'm happy to put in there that the deadline the working group has set itself is the San Francisco meeting to produce a final report.
So I normally get an email from one of the lovely ladies about a couple of weeks in advance, we're asking for updates. So I can just reply to that, possibly. Mikey?
Yeah, Rick, I think we've actually changed this system as not all the chairs were as responsive as you, Michaela, unfortunately. So I think staff has taken up the pen, basically, for that document. And, you know, if there are any comments or changes, or, you know, if chairs want to review that before it actually goes out, you know, that's no problem either.
Okay. Mikey?
I'm fine with the idea of shooting for San Francisco, but before I sign on, I'd really like to see sort of a work plan that says, here are the pieces of work that have to be done and some intermediate dates along the way. One of the things that drives me a little bit crazy about the GNSO, it's not me.
It's my phone, and I have no way of rejecting. Hold on. Just hold on one second. End. Just turn. There needs to be a reject button on the iPhone. Go ahead. Sorry, Mikey.
Okay. So I'd just like to see a little work planning done before we commit to an end date, because it drives me a little bit nuts to just have a date out there but no intermediate milestones to let us know whether we're on schedule or not. That's all.
Mikey, this is Michele. Just with respect to that, the deadline that I have for the GNSO update is tomorrow. So I would just need to go, I mean, what I was thinking of doing was just going back to them and saying, look, this is what we're looking for. We're looking at doing this, rather than making a firm commitment. Remember, I'm Irish, so I'm very good at making vague promises to do things. As opposed to...
Well, that's cool. You know,
But I do think what you're saying about actually working on a proper work plan, that makes perfect sense to me.
Yeah, I mean, if we've got another public comment cycle that we have to get through, you know, how long are those dates? I just want to make sure that all the work we need to do actually fits in the time between now and San Francisco.
Right, well, how about this then, since I'm an evil, vindictive whatever, at the best of times, would you like to work with me and somebody else to put this together?
Sure.
Okay. And would anybody else like to throw themselves on their sword for this? Apart from Marika, who has already got enough on her plate. No other volunteers?
Yeah, Michaela, I raised my hand.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Bob.
Yeah, I'm happy to help. I was going to say I'm happy to help, and I was just curious, has there, have we done something like that before in this work group, a project plan where we have the milestone dates and all that set up just as a template that we could use?
I could answer you that pretty categorically by saying no.
Okay. This is Marika.
We've done that.
This is Marika. I've actually done similar work plans for other work teams. Although, you know, sometimes a bit of a challenge because, you know, you're trying to look in the future, which is not always easy, especially in this context as well. It's not clear, you know, how much support there is yet for recommendation, how much work is needed. Also, what I wanted to mention on the public comments, in principle, there's no requirement to have a public comment period on a final report. But I think what is customary, if there are big changes between the initial report and the final report, especially with regard to the recommendations, it would be highly recommended that another round of public comments is held so people are not caught by surprise concerning the recommendations that are published. I mean, this might take a different form than the public comment period we do on a whole report. It might just be pulling out the recommendations and saying, look, in relation to these charter questions, these are the different recommendations the working group is considering. You know, you can look at the draft version of the report to see, how we've come to that. You know, please give us as your feedback. But so the group needs to take that into consideration, but I guess that will only become clear once there's a clearer idea of how the recommendations might look and which ones will get support.
Rob?
Yeah, I can, if you give me some dates and tell me what you want done, I'm happy to volunteer some of my time.
Okay, thank you. Well, I think just for this, just putting together something we can kind of work through, we don't need millions of people. So I think it's really a case of Mikey, myself, and I think Bob's. I think there's enough there between us, because while I appreciate the offer of help, too many cooks spoil the broth. That is what we just get this done quickly. But it's more important that when we put out things to the group for some feedback, that we can try and get something back sooner rather than later. So Bob and Mikey, if you want to kind of catch up with me off list after this call, and Marika can maybe get. Give us a little bit of guidance on what way this should look, since she knows what that is. That is, again, I don't want to lump her with all the work. So, moving on. Do just with respect to the aftermarket-y people and their stuff and things, is that pretty much done at this stage, guys, or do you have more to do, Bob and Simonetta?
Yeah, Michele, this is Bob. I was going to summarize the report and get that out to the group, so I think I should have that pretty much done by next meeting. So.
Okay, perfect. All right. Anything else?
That's, I'm sorry, that's obviously with Simonetta's input as well. She's been working with me on that the whole time.
Okay, perfect. Actually, now that I think of it as well, just with respect to next week's meeting, I won't be able to attend as I'm at the right meeting in Rome. So would somebody else be able to chair in my stead? Don't all rush. Nobody there, nobody wants to chair the meeting next week?
I'll throw my name out there to help out.
Okay.
I would probably want to get together with you prior just to work out the agenda, but that would be fine.
Okay, thanks, James. Does anybody have any objections to James chairing the meeting next week? I'll take the silence to mean no. James, you're very popular. Okay, then. Moving on to our agenda. I'm actually skipping a couple of things because we kind of got into a couple of other things here. Marika, I think, emailed everybody about the meeting in Cartagena. Or was that just to me, since I'm getting confused what's going to me and what's going...
This is Marika. I think I just sent you an email about that. I have included it here in the agenda that, in principle, the closed working group meeting that the work group agreed on is tentatively scheduled for Thursday, the 9th of December, from 9:30 to 10:30 local time.
Okay.
The schedule hasn't been confirmed yet, so this is still tentatively. And my proposal would be once the schedule comes out, the group can review as well which other meetings are scheduled opposite it. The latest version I've seen, I haven't seen anything extremely problematic, but of course I don't know what everyone's agenda is for Cartagena, but maybe then the group can have a discussion to see whether that time meets everyone's schedule.
Okay. As far as I'm aware, there's one other group meeting roughly around the same time, but I think I'm the only person who's in any way involved with it, and by any way involved with, I'm subscribed to the list, but I'm subscribed to a lot of lists, so it's not that important to me. But we can review that in further down the line. Okay, then. With respect to the other items on the agenda, and I just realized as well, I was very bold. I didn't ask anybody if they had an update for their SOI, DOI. Does anybody have an update for their statement of interest, declaration of interest? I'll take the silence to mean no. Okay, perfect. Okay, then, so we have just reviewing the comments on the initial report. Marika, go ahead.
Yeah, this is Marika, because the only thing that's still remaining is the comments received on the proposal for the ETRP. So I think that partly probably links together with the discussion on the recommendations, whether the ETRP is something that the working group really wants to get into the details and prepare a detailed proposal, or is it something that the group would like to work out a number of principles and hand those over together with the public comments to a next group or staff to develop, the concrete proposal. So that's, from my point of view, that's the only item I think that's remaining from the public comments. And as this document is going to be linked in the initial report, in the final report, I would recommend everyone to review it and make sure that the comments that are captured there accurately reflect the working group discussions.
Okay. Simonetta and then James.
I am just wondering, from my perspective at least, looking at the final report draft and the recommendation draft piece that we've seen, and it sounded as if everyone would like to jump in and actually look at that stuff and work through it. So I was wondering if it made sense potentially to take a look at this, at these comments, and just truly just review them just within a with the idea in mind that we want to understand what they say so we can be aware of them when we look at the recommendation drafts, rather than discussing at length every single one of these comments that's made in the comment review tool, because then we could spend another 4 weeks just discussing the comments rather than going into the actual recommendations page.
Marika?
I don't have my hand up, or was it a question for me?
Well, kind of.
I mean, it's up to the working group. I mean, the working group does have an obligation to review the comments. And, you know, you might just comment indeed saying, look, we've looked at these in the totality and we think they're really important. We take them, you know, and reflect that these have been taken into account for the next step of deliberations on the ETRP, but that we still require looking at the different comments and, I guess, going through them. But if I understand Sumetta correctly, she would recommend the working group members just to do that and look through it and take them into account when discussing them instead of going through them one by one and providing a response for each of them. Did I understand that correctly?
Well, that's what I'm wondering about. Do we need to respond to every single one of them, because discussing our response is going to take a lot of time, or is it more important to understand what the comment is all about and then have this in mind when we actually review our recommendations? Because, I mean, the comments are important and they should be taken into account, but I'm not sure if we need to respond to every single one of them and agree on our response to them, or if it's more important to just incorporate them in our recommendations.
I'm actually having difficulty fully understanding what you're asking. I mean, you're saying that we should read the comments and react to them, but you don't want us to reply to them?
No, I'm wondering. I mean, what we've spent a lot of time doing is going through each one of these comments and actually responding to every single one of them so far. And we left this piece in the middle completely aside that is about what we're actually supposed to be working on. So I just fear that if we keep on doing that and we go through the rest of these comments at the same speed that it took us to go through the ones that we have reviewed so far, I don't know when we're going to get to the actual draft and the recommendations
Okay, now I see what you're kind of meaning. All right. James, Mikey? James?
Hi, yes. I think I understand what Simonetta is proposing, and I agree that we shouldn't iteratively go through each of the comments. But, you know, I think going back to something Marika mentioned earlier, I think that the ETRP in particular is an excellent candidate for an idea that should be fleshed out for testing of consensus, either through a poll or through maybe perhaps a dedicated call. You know, I think that what we're hearing in the group and in the comments is, you know, we like it, we hate it. Actually, that's not true. I don't think anybody completely likes it. But, you know, I think that maybe we should take a look at some of the elements that are proposed in the ETRP draft and test them individually on a component level for consensus before we can move forward and recommend, as Marika said, recommend whether this becomes a work for a second group, whether it becomes work for staff, or whether it's thrown overboard entirely. And I think before we can even make a determination in that regard, we need to tease it apart and look at some of its components before we can come to that kind of a decision.
Okay, thank you. Next up, we have Mikey. And Paul Diaz, if you use atoms and molecules on this working group, I'll kill you.
My bad.
Oh, I hadn't seen that. That's lovely.
D dude, that gave me such a headache the first few times that was used, but I think it was started by a bunch of engineers or something, and I'm not an engineer, and my poor little head was practically exploding.
This is Mikey. I think I want to sort of build on what James was saying, which is, and also sort of fold in Simonetta's point, which is the ETRP discussion is one that we've got sort of several clumps of stuff that we need to consider. We need to take a look at Bob and Simonetta's results from their research. We need to take a look at this pile of comments. We need to break this into the principles that James is talking about and get a sense how that all fits together. So, you know, if we could wave a magic wand and all be in the same room, I could imagine a bunch of whiteboard work to sort of figure this all out. But I really agree with Simonetta's point that if we go through every single comment at the speed that we've gone through the other ones, we will be at that for quite a long time. At the same time, I think Simonetta would agree with me that we want to fold those comments into the analysis that we do somehow. And it could be that, James, I don't know if this is where you're headed. I mean, one thing we could think about is using that meeting in Cartagena as the analysis session to try and crash through all this stuff. Is that where sort of you were headed? Because I think that would maybe work.
Possibly. I wasn't really thinking of the logistical particulars, but that's a good idea.
And so maybe the thing to do is have another little subgroup sort of go off and huddle as to what we could do in terms of preparation for that meeting so that then when we got to that incredibly valuable moment when we were all face-to-face, you know, we could really get a lot done. It seems like a big opportunity, but it would take, I think it would take some planning. I think it would be a bad idea to just take these clumps of information and sort of not do any get-ready kind of work and go into a face-to-face meeting. I think we'd spend the whole meeting just figuring out what we were going to do.
Okay, thank you, Mikey. Simonetta?
I just wanted to clarify. I meant, of course, to look at these, and we have to understand what they say, because if we don't understand what the comments say, we can't make sure that they're reflected in our recommendation either. But I don't think we need to discuss and come to consensus on every single one of these points before we look at the recommendations, because we have to discuss it in that light again.
Okay. Marika?
Yeah, this is Marika. Following on from James's comment on maybe polling on the different elements of the ETRP, another approach could be indeed to poll on the different elements of the ETRP to see whether there's consensus, and also add to that poll the different comments that have been made to see if indeed there are certain areas where there is a large consensus from the working group that those comments should be included in the ETRP. And that might be a way as well of you know, reflecting or reviewing the comments, because it would require the working group members to actually look at the comments and make sure they understand them to see if they agree or not with the suggested approach.
Okay. Anybody? Samantha?
I think what we could do is we could go through these comments and each comment one by one, figure out, do we understand what it says? And do we think that it needs to be part of our final recommendation? And at least that way we would identify which are the items that we need to make sure are taken care of in the final recommendation report. And do we understand what people were actually saying? I think those are the two things we need to get out of these comments. And we don't need to come to a full agreement while we're reviewing that.
OK, Okay, well, I'm just looking at the ETRP comments, and there's quite a few, but some of them I think are quite easy to deal with because, well, they're pretty damn obvious. Like, for example, one of the first comments we have for Charter Question A, ETRP, comment number 4, need for clearer terminology in relation to the ETRP. I mean, you know, okay, that's clear enough feedback as far as I'm concerned. Does anybody have any issue understanding that? No? Okay. Some of the other things are in a similar kind of vein. They're soliciting more information. In other words, just more a case of us, you know, instead of just putting in like one or two words, maybe just expanding a little bit what is meant by a particular thing so that people can understand exactly what it is. And there's other ones there again, which is just, it seems to reinforce the idea of clarity as to what it covers and what it doesn't cover. Then when we get into the other comments, there's a mixture of sources. There's stuff from Peter Stevenson, George Kirikos, and Andrew Allerman. So while in some respects it can be a little bit daunting, at the same time, the summary of the comment probably covers most of what we need to capture, or at least react to. So, based on the time, which it's a quarter to the hour, do we really want to get into this now and try to do one or two of these and just see if people have any reactions to them or anything else? Shall we go ahead and start moving through these?
Get started on it, my opinion.
So let's move forward. Sorry, I kind of hear you whispering something.
I would prefer we get started on it, even if we don't get very far. That's just.
Thank you, Rob. Remember to speak up there, as I know damn well from you meeting you in person, you're not afraid to speak your mind. don't go mumbling. I'm going deaf.
I shall keep that in mind.
Thank you. All right then. Okay. Need for clear terminology in relation to the ETRP. That's pretty clear. I don't think we need to discuss that any further. Does anybody have anything else to add to that? No. Fine. Moving on. Now, next one. Is a separate policy required taking into account other options available, such as an injunction, and does the incidence warrant a new policy? Paul.
Thanks, Michele. Last time I checked, injunction is a legal term, and unless somebody deigned us judges, we are not a court, so injunction is does not apply. I don't know what was really meant by that.
I think it could be something relating to if the civil actions involving the domain names as well or in parallel or something. I think I could be wrong. James.
Yeah, hi, Michele, James speaking, and you know, I think that this question or this comment gets right at the heart of the first charter question, which we should probably deconstruct a little bit and put out there to test consensus. But is there, you know, it unwrapping it a little bit or unpacking some of the things in here? Do the existing remedies suffice? That's a good question. I personally don't think they do, but I think that there others may have some other opinions. Then the second part of that would be, does that mean that we need a new policy? I think that probably is dependent upon your perspective on the first question. And then the second part about the final part here, I'm scrolling down as fast as I can, apologize. You know, there's another part there just about whether or not you know, this is the right policy is a completely valid question, and I think that would probably be where the heart of the debate is. But I think that this gets to the point of, do the existing mechanisms and leaving injunction and Paul's comment off the table and just looking at, for example, the TDRP, does it suffice? Is it functional? What about the incidents? Are we really solving the problem that exists? I mean, these are the heart of Charter Question A.
Yes.
Okay. Kevin?
Yeah, I just wanted to clarify, when they talk about injunction, part of the ERTP relates to injunctions, but not totally. Just to clarify, an injunction is like non-monetary relief, that the court does something, makes an order about what you have to do that's within its power to grant. And in the context of ICANN's ability to do stuff, they can certainly do stuff with just about any domain name registration. And so under, for instance, the UDRP, they are able to cancel or transfer domain name registrations as part of their inherent powers. They're not capable of awarding monetary damages or giving any other sort of legal relief. And so one of the things that I think is problematic is this idea of building something that can protect against use and misuse. I think we tried to address that somewhat, but a lot of it depends on, you know, what technological measures are feasible and et cetera, et cetera. So that's my two cents.
James, that hand from, or do you want to go again?
That's a relic. I'll take it down.
Okay. All right. Comments 6 and 7 are both to do with the abuse and misuse. Number 7, abuse, misuse of the ETRP should be strongly penalized. And then the other one, 6, is, are there sufficient safeguards built into the ETRP that protect against abuse, misuse? E.g., what proof needs to be provided to determine that it concerns a hijacking? How do you avoid / get the system being used by registrants to get their domain name back after a sale has been completed? But I think I'd kind of push 6 and 7 kind of together because they're dealing with the same thing. Got lots of excitement here. Bob, James, then Simonetta.
Yep, this is Bob speaking. In our aftermarket survey, this came through loud and clear. Probably one of the strongest, sort of consensus points was that concern about abuse, concern that there really weren't specifics in the policy, other than a sort of an agreement directionally that they needed to be there. But one very large domainer was actually in favor of ETRP if this particular point around preventing abuse could be sufficiently structured. So I'd say this was a real red flag, attracted a ton of attention, and I think we need to really focus on this one to get support for this from
okay.
The aftermarket. So thank you.
All right, James, and then Simonetta.
Yeah, it's James. It's good to know, and Bob, and if we can crystallize some of the objection. I think I agree. Most of the objection I've heard is on a specific point, which probably leads us to the design of a second poll question, which is something to the effect of, is it possible to create a mechanism, so described in Charter Question A, that does not turn into a de facto dispute resolution policy? Because I think that's what we were trying to avoid, but I think what we're hearing from the comments is that, we stepped in the dispute of commercial transactions by trying to resolve a technical operation, and, can those be separated? And would that then solve the abuse problem? So I think that's possibly a second question: is it possible to design an urgent return mechanism that doesn't, become misused into a dispute resolution or dispute creation mechanism?
Okay, Simonetta?
Yes, I just wanted to also voice what Bob has already said, that this was really the point where people had most concern in the aftermarket, that there is, it wasn't clear how this is done, that you collect sufficient proof that it is actually a hijacking situation and not a case of seller's remorse or something else. And the other point was that everyone was asking for a way to respond to this action, which basically is exactly what James was just saying. You just create a dispute resolution situation, and then we're back to what we currently have, which is it raises the question, do we need something else but what we currently have, and if so, what does this need to look like?
Mikey?
This is Mikey. I think that there's a fair amount of consensus in the group around a couple of things. I think I would certainly support the notion that this thing has to have sufficient safeguards against abuse, seller's remorse category. I would also agree that we want to stay, if we can, away from becoming another dispute mechanism. So it may be that we've set ourselves on an impossible task, but I'm not ready to give that up yet. So, you know, I think the main point is that in terms of the results that Bob and Simonetta, you guys came up with, I don't think that there's anybody in the group that designed this that would disagree.
Simonetta?
I'm just really wondering if this is possible to have a mechanism that is so foolproof that it will never be abused, and then no recourse to that. I don't think, I mean, maybe I'm just lacking creativity here and there's something we can think of, but this is really what I think we have to answer that question. Is it possible to come up with a catalog of requirements that are so foolproof that they don't need a response from the other party? And I don't know, maybe I just don't know what that would look like, but I can't think of one right now.
Okay. Bob, and then James.
Yeah, this is Bob speaking. I guess, you know, piling onto the whole dispute mechanism, the other question that seemed to come up numerous times was, what's the response to ETRP? If I get ETRP'd, what's my mechanism to go back and contest that? So it just makes it that much more complicated. You know, I guess the other question I had sort of process was, I think it's difficult to crowdsource some of this stuff. So, you know, is there a way where, you know, we do a breakout where, you know, people come up with suggestions, or is there a smaller subgroup that, you know, works on some recommendations that factor the input from the comments and try and come up with something that we could get consensus of? I guess just an open question. Thank you.
Okay, and James?
Well, to respond to Bob, I mean, that's kind of what we did in the first place, and that, of course, got the accusations of going off into a cave and coming up with ETRP in the first place. So, but to respond to Simonetta's question, I think that, you know, I'm not ready to wave the white flag and say it's not possible to design this. I think that, you know, the you know, my personal perspective is that that there's a lot of transactional maturity left to be developed in the you know, in the domain name aftermarket, and that you know, we've kind of touched on one area that needs to be strengthened a little bit. I'm not sure that someone couldn't have seller's remorse now and use existing mechanisms to try and claw back a domain name after a sale by claiming hijacking or something. So certainly we don't want to enable that type of behavior, but I don't know that I'm ready to say that, you know, this is impossible and we shouldn't pursue it. I think that it's something that we should look at, and we should definitely measure the impact, but not ready to say that because of the potential of that, that it's not worth pursuing.
Okay. And the last one, because we're almost out of time here, Mikey?
This is Mikey. I'm just going to build on what James said a little bit. I think that one of the keys to this scenario may be the nature of the person who's taken the domain. In other words, what we were really aiming at was bad guys, crooks, who, for the most part, would never dispute this request because they're bad guys. And that, you know, maybe the thing to do is to say, if the person who get wrapped around losing and gaining and stuff like that, if the person is a good guy and they say, hey, wait a minute, I bought this name fair and square, then the rule is it stays with the good guy and it goes off into existing dispute resolutions. Because I think our presumption when we were designing this was that it's a bad guy, and the bad guy isn't going to stand up and make themselves known. They're going to disappear. That's our whole objective, is to crooks. And so I'm with James. It seems to me that there might be a way to build this thing where if there's any legitimate reason...
49558, shit.
Interesting. 49558, shit.
Apologies, that was me. I should have been on mute. Sing it. Apologies.
No worries. I just liked it. Anyway, that's the point I was going to make. Is, you know, if we could make it so that this only worked if there was really a bad guy on the far end, and if there was in any way a good guy, it would immediately drop off. Maybe that's the way out.
Okay, Simonetta gets the final word.
I like that idea, but I think...
Don't get used to it.
But in order to find out if it's a good or a bad guy, you have to have some kind of question mechanism, and that's where some kind of response to it would be needed, and that's... The current proposal doesn't have any kind of a response like that designed into it, but if we can come up with a good enough response to distinguish good and bad guys in some way, shape, or form, I'm all for it. I mean, I don't want to make it easier for the bad guys to take domain names away. That's not my intent at all.
I'm just going to ask one question, though, is just because I feel like it. A lot of this stuff seems to be putting pressure on registrars and ICANN to make changes to policy in order to deal with a problem that in many respects could be seen as being limited to only certain players. So the question I would ask is, what are those players themselves doing? Just a parting thought. Anyway, James will be looking after you next week, since he's wonderful and volunteers for such things. And don't get too excited, whoever that was. And with Mikey and Bob would ping me off list, then we can move forward with putting into place some kind of framework, work plan, whatever, and then we can get Super Marika just to tell us where we're going wrong with us. And James, I would humbly suggest that you, one of the topics for discussion for next week, be to pick up from this point forward. Have all enjoy the rest of your week, people, and speak to you all soon.
Thanks, Kelly.
Thanks, Kelly.
Thanks, Kelly.
Thanks, Mickey.